Blog Talk Radio.
What's the topic? We'll never run out of options. Fatherhood to justice, O'Shea and Mark dropped the knowledge. These are times where we try for a peace of mind, organize and then reignite with these words from the other side.
We're two good brothers, unpacked. Meaningful conversations centered in solutions that transmute the systemic energy of being black in America, where each episode is packed with inspirational messages and thought-provoking special guests. Come join us on the other side.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, KEWRDB.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of E-Water Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of E-Water Radio, KEWRDB, or its affiliates.
Welcome back, one and all. Welcome back to On the Other Side. We look forward to this this next hour of thought exploration. And I'm happy to be doing that with my partner in knowledge, Brother O'Shea Lujah. Are you with us on the other side, brother?
Yes, good brother. I am with you on the other side, man. I'm happy to be here, man. You know, moving through this retrograde energy, man. We got about another week of retrograde. So I'm just coasting and floating, brother.
But each time you're on, brother, you drop these terms. Last time there was what was the last time, brother? The period that we were entering into or that day, I forget what it was. But,
it was the autumn equinox. Yeah,
the
autumn equinox.
Nah, that's what it was. It's a rebirth, and so now we're in Mercury retrograde, brother. So again, I got to ask you to break that down, brother, so we'll all be on the same mental plane as you, my friend.
Indeed. Mercury, when it's in retrograde, first, Mercury is the fastest moving planet in the solar system. It's closest to the sun, making its orbit path a little more speedy than the rest of the planets. However, when it laps the Earth, a few things happen. You know, it laps the Earth about 3 to 4 times a year, and Mercury rules communication, transportation, and, you know, technology. So your computer may get to acting haywire. When you try to communicate something to someone, they may not really get what you're saying. And then your car may break down. So, you know, oftentimes when it's in retrograde, it's good for you to be still. Just be still and breathe and just allow things to flow and unfold in divine order.
You know, it's really good practice. I think as we go through these different, you know, astrological moments, that we don't, you know, we just don't shrug it off like, oh, that's the give the information, but really to take a moment to really say, okay, what should I, how is my communication, right? It's off balance, but is it always off balance? And am I the one who's keeping it, you know, off balance, or is it the circle that I'm running at? And I spend too much time on the computer, too much time on social media, or am I spending too much time away from the home, riding my car around? Should I be at home more with the family? Right. So I think that as we enter into these moments, man, I think people should really, if they're following these occurrences, they should really reflect, because it's a really a beautiful, wonderful time for reflection.
Oh, my God. Man, you are so smooth and right on point with that, Brother Mark. And, you know, hopefully everyone heard what you just said, because retrograde, don't care if you believe it or not, it's happening. And in the energy of us, you know, being still, like you're saying, and reflecting, man, it's so powerful, man, because essentially we can move forward with clarity. And when retrograde happen again, you know, we'll be prepared and know what's happening.
Brother, we have a lot of reflection to do in this episode. We have a guest we're going to bring on in a minute. We're going to really talk about, you know, communication between the mind and the body. And I'm excited about this conversation because, you know, people are really struggling with balance, trying to find balance in their life, man. And really that balance, the ultimate balance begins with mind and body connection. And when that's off, when those two are not talking to one another properly, there's a lot of things that come up on, you know, just disease of the body, poor relationships. So I'm really excited about that, man, because as always, I do a little research and I'm looking at, you know, some information coming from the National Institute of Health. And, you know, I look at purely numbers for rates of obesity, right? And they're saying one in three adults are considered to be overweight. Two in three adults were considered to be overweight or have obesity. One in three adults were considered to have obesity. One in 13 adults were considered to have extreme obesity. Mm. And one in six children and adults ages 2 to 19 were considered to have obesity. So, you know, it's kind of tricky when you talk about what determines obesity. And we're going to discuss that with Marnisha in a moment. But the bottom line is that there's a lot of unhealthiness in our society. And so we really want to dive into that and talk about the industry of health, because there's a lot of people turning their attention to that and their finances. You know, I was reading that, you know, people are actually spending more money in their lifetime on health than they do and going to like higher educational pursuits. So there's a lot to unpack this show. But as always, before we jump into that, we just want to just acknowledge, you know, brothers and sisters that we've lost due to, you know, violence, either coming from, you know, police departments or from other circumstances. We want to put a, you know, special attention to our brother Jelani Day, who was missing for a while, a young brother who was missing, but he was found, and his families are trying to get answers now because his body was found and there seemed to be some sort of organ harvesting going on with his body. So we want to send our prayers and our thoughts to the family, to the Day family, as they try to unfold the mystery behind the missing and now the death of their family member, Jelani. There's another sister who, you know, who was found recently in Alabama. She was missing. She was a mother, 29-year-old mother, Christina. Her last name eludes me now, but she was found in an unused police van, her body that she was missing for a while. And so, you know, there's this story of missing black women and black men. It happens far too often. And Jelani and Christina, they just represent a number that is just too many. And so we want to just continue to, you know, pay attention. Right. I know there's a lot that we have to pay attention to now, brother. And some things we put on ourselves. Right. We get up in the morning and we immediately grab our social media accounts and we dive into that. And that's a lot of information on our head. And in the process, we sometimes overlook some of these important issues that are going on in our community. I just think it's important to focus on that.
Man, I'm so glad that you said that, brother, because, you know, as we send light to all these families of, you know, all of these, you know, beautiful ebony, you know, men and women that's, you know, missing and all of that, you know, when we all are sending light that way, you know, we will give more light and more time to even reflect and then, you know, get these messages out and have these conversations. Because like you say, if social media is invading our home, you know, these pertinent stories are not being communicated in the home because technology is ruling in another fashion. So I appreciate you and myself always bringing light to these ebony people, man, you know, our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely, brother. It's important, man, because it's too easy to get lost in trivial things. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying we have to 24/7 concentrate on things that are heavy, because that's just too much for our systems, our mind and our body to contain. But if we find ourselves concentrating on things that are not as important or not important, nearly as important all the time, then these things won't get light because mainstream media, they're not going to shine light on the issues that are really important to us. They're gonna amplify issues that keep us distracted. And so we want to, you know, we want to encourage our brothers and sisters and our listeners, you know, of all races, really, to you know, all races, creed, religion, that it's okay to indulge and to have fun, but it has to be some time allotted where we put attention and energy and spirit and thought towards things that are really important and really help to drive humanity. So I just want to just throw that out there, brother, as we launch and get into the conversation with our guest here.
Yes, yes, thank you, brother. We give thanks, man.
So speaking of our guests, we are excited to have with us Marnisha Hall. She is a certified trainer that deals with the mind and the body, the connection. So she's going to help us in this period of Mercury retrograde. She's going to help to make the connection. So, Marnisha, are you with us on the other side?
I am here on the other side. I want to say thank you guys for having me. I'm very excited for today's conversation.
Well, we're excited too, Marnisha, because this is a an important conversation. And you heard some of the statistics that I dropped. So right. I think people are struggling with this conversation, struggling with this reality, because it's not syncing up. So much money is being spent on fitness, but yet
right.
we're still struggling with being the optimal selves that we really could be. So, you know, we want to jump and unpack and figure out why that is. But before we do that, I just want to just talk about just your origin story. You know, how did you come to this place in your life where this is taking center, taking your attention, and this has become your purpose, it seems. You know, I was reading, you know, some of your story, and, you know, it seems that you started off in sports and at a young age, and that became so fitness and health became a part of your early on. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. So it's actually, you know, I'm actually excited that you guys said, you know, the mind and body connection, because for me, it was a lot of finding that connection. So after I played college basketball at San Jose State University, and, you know, so growing up, I was always under a structure of fitness. So I always had a schedule and routine and, you know, kind of had people that was always guiding me on what I was going to do, especially when it came to my physical health. So after college is when I really started to lose that mind and body connection, because I no longer had that consistency or that balance in holding myself accountable. So I would work out here and there and, you know, try to keep my body moving, but there was no consistency. But it was all because for the first time in my life, I was put in a situation where I had to hold myself accountable, and I had to kind of dictate what I wanted to do myself versus having a coach or a trainer kind of leading me in that direction, right? So I battled with a lot of mental health concerns. You know, I went through the depression after college, supposed to go play, continue basketball. That didn't help happen. So I was forced to kind of figure out what it was I wanted to do in life and really find another career path. I started working for an agency that's funded by the Department of Mental Health. So that's where I really started to learn a lot about the mind and how much it does affect the body. And even while I was working, which I still currently work at this agency, you know, I was still into fitness, but I wasn't really consistent. And then there was just, I had the mental health piece, but there was a lot of imbalance that was going on. So I had to like really look at myself in the mirror and say, what is it? You know, now it's my physical health that's no longer aligning with my mental health. So that's when I made the change to really focus on both, not just my mental health, but my physical health as well, because I'm a firm believer that they go hand in hand. When your mental health suffers, your physical health suffers. When your physical health suffers, your mental health suffers. And so I started to really chime in on that, and I was able to get to a place now where I know when I'm feeling down or I'm not feeling, you know, a certain, like feeling good or feeling the healthiest, I'm able to tap into not only the physical health, but the mental health. And now I've turned it into a passion where I'm able to teach that to other people because I've gained knowledge in both areas.
Talk a little bit about how, what's the importance, what's the connection, Manisha, of the two being in sync? You know, I reading up on this subject, I see that there's a lot of, you know, there's been a sort of a shift in how people sort of consume their you know, working out. Before, like Gen Xers like myself, you know, they say that we went to the gym and we worked alone. We hit the weights, the weight room, and we were out of there. But today there's a lot of communal stuff, and you know, like Zumba and Pilates, and I don't know if that group thing helps people to stay on point or to stay focused, but you know, it's really about, you know, when you talk about the mental and body connection, you know, it makes sense, right? Because if your body's out of shape, or if you're struggling with body, you know, imaging or how you see yourself, your mental is going to be affected. But you know, but just talk about, you know, what's the importance of making sure that connection stays fluid.
Yeah, I think the most, you know, I mean, there's a lot that plays into it, right? But the importance is you want to be able to. So physical fitness for me, it helps me quiet, you know, silence whatever is going on in the outside world. I think especially with the pandemic going on nowadays, and what we're currently, you know, going through, it's allowed people, it's for the first time in a long time, people have had to sit down and kind of deal with themselves, right? So a lot of times, individuals, some people go out and they party, they drink, and they do those things. But for a while, that was all shut down. So now they're at a point where they have to sit and really deal with themselves. And I think that's the hardest part when you're talking about mental health and physical health, is actually having to sit down and deal with your mind. And I know you touched base on the community and group stuff. I think that is amazing. You know, I love group workouts. I actually hosted live group workouts on Instagram, and to have a community of people that are currently encouraging and also going through similar things that you're going through, and to know that you're not alone, that's really big, because it's a lot easier to accomplish things as a group than, you know, by yourself. Like they say, it takes a village, right? And I really, really believe that. And so I love the group things. I love the community things, because it does bring everybody together, especially at a time like this that we're currently going through a pandemic. It's bringing everybody together who are fed. The importance to really, you know, make sure that they go hand in hand is all about keeping you healthy, keeping you moving, and just understanding your body. Like, you have to get to a point where you understand, if I'm down and out, and my friends would tell you too, like, if I'm down and out, they're like, have you worked out today? I'm like, no, I haven't. You know, and it's like, and that's when I can kind of tell that I need to get out and get moving. And it's all about just keeping your body moving, you know, look good, feel good, right? So I would be lying if I said it's easy to tap into that part, because it's not. Right. It takes a lot of dealing with yourself and to know that the changes have to be made, you know, to live a healthier lifestyle. And it's important to really deal with your physical health and mental health, because as we know, stress, anxiety, all that can kill, right? And fitness has been, there's proven facts that fitness helps with anxiety, that it helps with eliminate stress. And those are all things that we can control within ourselves that are currently killing us. And so that's why I feel like it's important.
So I have a question. So Marnisha, this is O'Shea. You have, you know, that's so, you know, extraordinary, just how you just broke down the mind-body connection. I want to echo a few parallels that we have. You know, I'm a former basketball player. Like, I grew up playing ball my whole life, loved it. And I played high school ball, had a scholarship to Long Beach State. That's another story. Didn't quite work out. But I'm saying that to say, you know, my son, well, we have a son that graduated from San Jose State, right? And he graduated with a you know, degree, graduated about a couple years ago. So when I was looking at some of your work, and I was like, yeah, she is serious. She gets it in. I did like 50 push-ups before I jumped on this podcast just so I could, so I could just raise my energy, you know. So my question is, yeah, I said, let me do 50 push-ups right quick just so I can, you know, raise my energy. So my question is for people out there that do not ever work out, who are so far from working out and want to get started, and like, you know how important baby steps are, what would you say to encourage them to just do something until it become a habit? Because we know 21 days it takes to make or break a habit. So what would you tell the people on the couch that the last thing they want to do is work out, but what they need to do is work out?
Right. So honestly, the first thing I would say to do, it doesn't even start with movement. The first thing I always tell my clients, I always ask my clients, are what are your goals? Your goals and set your intentions. Because 9 out of 10 times, if you're doing it because you want to look good for somebody else, or you want to be with body goals, or your partner's not happy with their body, in 2 weeks, you're not going to make it, right? So you have to sit down and really figure out what are your goals and what are your intentions. Once you figure out your goals and your intentions and you write them down, then I would simply say go on a walk. Go on a walk for 10 minutes a day. I don't care if it's walking around your house. I don't care if it's walking, whatever it is. Just walk, you know, and then build off of that. Okay, this week you walk 10 minutes. That's 4 out of the 7 days. Great. Next week we're going to walk 12 minutes, 5 out of the 7 days, and just constantly build on top of that. But the people ask me this all the time, how long did it take you to reach your goals? It honestly took me 5 minutes because I sat down, wrote my goals, looked myself in the mirror and said, I want change. And that's how long it took me to change. But it starts with your mind, right? It's all about your mind.
Yes.
So, but my goal as far, so like I said, I wouldn't necessarily goal would be straight to moving. My goal is to sit down, write down your goals, write down your intentions and why it is that you want to lose that 20 pounds. You know, why is it that you want to be able to fit into whatever outfit that it is, you know? And so that's what my first, what my words have encouraged me to get started. And that's what I tell all my clients. And that's the first thing I ask her, what are your goals?
Nice.
I don't, because coming to me and saying my goal is to lose 20 pounds because my boyfriend says I'm not attractive anymore, I'm going to let you know that you're probably not going to make it with me. Because you're not doing it for you. You're doing it for somebody
else. Yeah, come on, man. That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
And you know, and that's beautiful, Marnisha, because if the significant other leaves them, does that mean that the goal leaves out the door with the significant other?
Exactly.
Or are they still committed to doing that? And that's beautiful because I think about, you know, I read this book by an author by the name of Tara Brach, and she talked about radical acceptance, right? And it's really about accepting part of yourself and loving every part of yourself as you are now, as you continue on your growth towards being the best or the best version that you can be, right? But that's not for someone else, though. That's for yourself. Exactly. So when you say, you know, you get them to write down their goals and their intention, and you get them to focus on really why they want to do that, because it really is about motivation, right? What's your motivating factor? If your motivating factor is outside of yourself, now sometimes that can be a motivating factor. That can get you going. That can rev the engine up. But if that is your sole motivating force, then what's going to happen is when that motivational force leaves, you're going to find yourself in the desert of want. And then you're going to say, well, it doesn't matter. And that really, you know, and then that mental, that mind thing starts to kick in, right? Because if I think about mind and body, the body is a reflection of what's going on in the mind, right? So if all of your thoughts are about pleasing others or being beautiful for someone or being beautiful for people at the workplace, being beautiful for your significant other, then – what about yourself? Where are you in this in this equation?
Right.
So I love to hear you say that, Marnisha.
Right. Yeah, and that goes with consistency as well. You know, I really preach, you know, consistency is one of the most important things when it comes to training your mind and your body, you know, working on your mental health and physical health. And nine out of 10 times as well, is if you're consistent with one thing in your life, you'll be consistent with everything in your life. So it's about developing the routine for yourself and what works for you.
Oh, I love that. Being consistent with one thing in your life, you'll be consistent with all things. Because she's right. It's transferable. You know, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So, you know, I would like to ask you, you know, in terms of, you know, a person sitting down, writing down their goals and moving in that energy, what would you say as they're on the couch, what should they start putting in their body? Would you suggest, like, you know, what is your water intake? I know that's very important. What's some of the things you would suggest about the nutrition that goes in the body?
So, yeah, definitely you are what you eat, right? But definitely water for sure. You know, water is hands down probably one of the best benefits for your body. And, of course, we want to talk about the fruits and vegetables, but I'm not really – when I have clients that are, you know, who don't work out or who, you know, just getting into workout in the extreme beginning stage, I never really want to put them on strict, like, diets, right? I'm not a nutritionist, so I don't ever tell them – you know, I give them guidance, but my main focus would be not necessarily eat this or eat that, but more so cut back on certain things. So if they're eating, you know, sweets 5 out of the 7 days, then we're going to say, okay, let's cut down those sweets and we're going to eat 3 out of the 7 days instead of 5. Because it's a lot easier to cut back than to really restrict somebody, especially if they're just eating.
Yes.
You don't want to restrict them right away from what they're used to, because then they'll fall short of their goal and then they'll start binging on the things that they're missing. So I always tell my clients to cut back versus, you know, and I might say, like, make sure you get your vegetables in, make sure you get your protein in, but to fully pull them away from what they've known for years is only setting them up for failure. So my goal is to set you up for success, but we're going to take baby steps, and we're going to take baby steps together. And that might look like, okay, you normally eat 4 brownies a day, I'm going to need you to cut back to 2, you know. just something like that, you know, something that's real, because it's all about smart goals, you know, you want smart goals. And so, yeah, so I'm not really, you know, you just want to cut back on things. And then once they can develop consistency on cutting back, then we can start really, you know, chiming into, okay, instead of frying that chicken, let's go ahead and bake that chicken, right? And just, you know, just those small steps like that.
Marnisha, you just stepped on a lot of toes out here now.
I know. It hurts. Truth hurts sometimes, but you got to do it.
You spoke about earlier about the pandemic and people, you know, in a sort of, and we know what's been going on in the pandemic. There's been a lot of people having a lot of time to think. So over the past 18 months, what have you found different about the people who have been approaching you about health? Has it been more reflective, or is it still on that shallow sort of, I just want to look good? Have you seen a difference in the clientele that's been approaching you?
Good question.
Honestly, for me, it's been a little bit of even. It's been pretty even for the most part, just because with social media and, you know, bodies and, you know, especially all of my clientele right now is all women. And so it's a lot easy for women to go online and see another woman's body and say, that's body goals, right? So I get a lot of that, but I will say that when I was doing my live group workouts online, a lot of those clients were really realizing that they had they were living unhealthy lifestyles, and they were realizing that, you know, while they were sitting at home in their thoughts, they were realizing, like, you know, I really do eat unhealthy, or I really don't move my body a lot, and, you know, things like that. So I have it's even for me, honestly. But I will say that just in general, when I look at the fitness industry as a whole, there are a lot more people now through this pandemic who are really trying to live healthier lifestyles for themselves. I mean, I know you guys did my website. The first thing you see on my website is choose yourself, choose your health. Right. And so I know a lot of people just as fitness as a whole, a lot more people are chiming into not only their physical health but their mental health. But I truly believe they did it by tackling their mental health, by having to deal with themselves through the pandemic that is now allowing them to tap into their physical health. I still get the clients that are like, I don't know if I want to work out. I go get a BBL, you know. So I still get a lot of that too. you still hear that here and there. But as a whole, I would say that the pandemic has changed people's perspective on health, and especially because you've heard that, like, in order to keep your health, you know, to protect you from protect you from the virus or to help you sustain the virus and come out of it on top, you got to be healthier, you know. You got to make sure you're eating the right things, moving your body and things like that. And I think because people are hearing that information and they're, you know, either they're educating themselves or somebody else is educating them, they're realizing that if I'm going to fight this, I have to be healthier, which is a great mindset going into it, because in reality, you do have to be healthier, right? So I think that as a whole, I think more people are coming, more people have thought about their mental health. I think more people are thinking about their physical health, and I love to see it. And that's really too, because I actually didn't get certified until March, and it was through the pandemic where I was like, you know, if I'm going to do this, I want to do it the right way, and now is the right time to do it, because people need help, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, though, for moving in your purpose and something that you were already familiar with. I loved how earlier you broke down, you know, someone else holding you accountable is one thing. You know, you're getting your coach and your trainer, but when you get home to do it yourself, that's when we're moving in through self-discipline. You know, and I always say self-discipline is doing what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. And it seems like this whole mind-body connection is centered in self-discipline, and that's what you are practicing. So, hey, Mark, man, I think, man, you may have to, go on and do some twists and leg raises with the sister, man. What you say, Mark?
Let me tell you something, brother. You know what? It's important. Everything that you're saying, Marnisha, is so important.
Yeah,
because
it is.
As I think about, you know, even my workouts, right? And you talk about just walking. When I'm out walking, my wife, when she sees me like down or depressed, she says, "Did you walk today?"
Mm-hmm.
Because she knows when I'm out walking, you know, those endorphins start to kick in and my joy starts to come back. And I walk now 5 days a week, 4 or 5 miles a day, maybe 5 days a week, right? And I call that that's my church. That's my sanctuary, because when I'm out there, I am honestly connecting my mind and my body. I can actually feel my mind syncing up with my body because my thoughts are more fluid. And I come back, and my wife knows when I come back from walking, she has to sit down and listen to a litany of new ideas that I have.
Right.
Essentially,
you're grounding yourself.
I'm grounding myself. So
I
think it's so important. And I think that, you know, when you talk about, you know, people come to you for, you know, just that sort of a 50-50 split. You know, how willing or how when you do greet someone who's really all about the body, do they eventually come to that understanding, your philosophy? Do they begin to see the importance of really syncing those two up, communicating with the mind and body, or, you know, out of that 50%, they just kind of stay in that space?
Oh, no, absolutely. I think there is definitely a shift. After there has been some consistency and obviously some goals progress have been seen. They do tap into that, like, okay, now I feel good. And, you know, they're confident. You can tell they're walking with confidence. They're walking to the weight room with their, you know, they're walking to the room like they own the room now. And that's big, you know, for me. Like, now you're walking with your head up and you're owning the room. You're owning your space. And so I have seen that drift with my clients, you know, and I love my clients right now. You know, they'll send me messages, and I think this is a part where I really know that I've tapped into my purpose and how I love what I do, because I have clients who, you know, they leave stressful jobs and they'll text me like, can we get a workout in today? I need it right now. I'm stressed out and I just need to release it. And for me, at the beginning, they may not have texted me that, but now they're texting me that. So now I understand you get it. This is not just helping me physically, but it's helping me mentally as well. So I definitely see that shift in my clients, and I love when my clients are confident now. I'm like, girl, you better walk that. Go ahead, do your thing, girl. So I love it. I love it. It's amazing to see that shift and them just become confident, you know, because once you're confident and you're confident in your body, your whole world, the whole world around you changes. You see things differently. You know, that the people's opinions, who the boyfriend or something who was once putting you down, you don't care about that no more because you've developed that confidence within yourself, you know?
Yes.
So I think that's
moving
really,
in your power.
You're moving, exactly.
Yes, you're moving,
exactly,
yes, moving,
in, your
moving in your power. I you know, one of the things I've been consistent with is being mindful, as Mark say, to walk all the time. And I do my workouts, and it don't take a lot of space or a lot of room or a lot of time to just keep your body right. And I know when I do work out, you know, I like to say I toss weights around here and there. Just, you know, people like to walk up to you. And, back in the day, especially before the pandemic, if someone would hug you, you know, the brothers and the sisters, they'll do what we call in the inner city yoke checks. Like, they'll squeeze your arm a little bit. So I always kept that, always kept them arms tight. Like, I'm like, okay, you squeeze this, you're going to feel that rock, so you know. So I'm saying that to say it's just really good. It don't take a lot of time to, you know, baby step your way into, you know, a healthier lifestyle. And I'm just excited to just know that you are serving your clients and your clientele, and they're spreading the word throughout, you know, their families, hopefully, and their communities.
Right.
And that's the ripple effect.
Yeah, for sure. And I like how you mentioned, like, it doesn't take a lot, because it doesn't. And, you know, I was doing a lot of when the pandemic first happened, I was doing a lot of just, you know, live workouts on social media, and no equipment at all. No equipment at all. It's just all about using your body. And a lot of times people don't understand you can use stuff right in your house. For that same person who sits on the couch all day, if you sit up, if you stand up, sit down 20 times for five rounds, that's a workout, you know?
Yeah.
You can utilize what you have in your house to really get your body moving, because a lot of people don't like the gym, which I totally understand. You can get moving. It doesn't always have to be going into the gym and throwing around 200-pound weights and things like that, you know. You could do it right from the comfort of your home, right, for the comfort of your home. Mm-hmm. So the options are there.
You know, that's beautiful, Marcia. I tell my mother that a lot. I said, Mom, look, you are – my mother's in her 70s, and I say, Mom, look, I say, you know, you have so many years left. How do you want those years to go for you? You're watching your shows on Turner Classic, and I'm going to tell her that. I'm going to say, just stand up and sit down 20 times. So you just gave me something else. I started my mother, because she said, I don't like walking outside. So now I'm going to tell her, okay, look, Ma, you don't have to walk outside, because Marnicia, a certified trainer, has told me that you don't have to go outside. You can stand up and sit down. It's about circulating that blood. It's about moving your body. It's about taking care of yourself, right, and for yourself.
Right.
And I think that's the message that's undergirding this conversation that I'm having. It's about taking care of yourself for yourself, right? There's so many different reasons that you – because my mother was all – she was in shape, but she was in great shape, but she was working. Right, but as she moved into this new phase of her life, her motivation to take care of herself has lessened, because it was all external. So now that she's in this moment in her life, her motivation has become less. She doesn't go out. Mm-hmm. She's not around a lot of people. But it's still about taking care of yourself, because you want to see – she has grandchildren. You want to see your grandchildren. You want to go to these benchmark, you know, moments, graduations, marriages.
Right.
You want to be there.
Right.
You don't want to be wheeled in a chair. You don't want to have to walk with a cane. You don't want to have to be on 20 different medications, because your body has quit, because you quit on your body.
Right, right.
So what about you, Monisha? You carry a lot. You are a lot of people deposit into you. You hear a lot of stories. You carry a lot of energy. How do you take? Mm-hmm. How do you stay motivated? What keeps you in this space? What do you do for yourself?
So the gym for me, honestly, and working out is the way of my self-care. I know that I do it for, you know, as helping others too, but it also does help me. And for me, I've gotten to a place where I've learned to kind of put myself first before I do anything. So I won't mm-hmm. train in the morning unless I've worked out first. And that's just just how I'm able to help other people. So I wake mm-hmm. up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and all my clients know that they can't get a session for me until after 7 o'clock. It works for some people. It doesn't work for some people. But I'm not willing to give up that my time, you know, because if I can't, you can't pour from an empty glass, right? So that's mm-hmm. how I get my energy is I go work on myself first, and then I'm able to help other people. Because I also work a 40-hour job for the department, an agency funded by the Department of Mental Health. So my schedule, mm-hmm. I run a very tight schedule. And with that being said, I have to make sure that I'm filling my cup, you know, first. And so, and that's how I do it. And then also, at nighttime, you know, I set my clothes out in the morning. This is what I encourage everybody who starts training too and who starts working out. Set your clothes out in the morning. Journal for yourself for the prior day. Like, what do you want your day to look like tomorrow? Yeah. Before you go to bed, journal what you want your day what you want your day to look like tomorrow, and really set those intentions. Because I'm a firm believer that proper preparation prevents poor performance. Right? I love the five P's. I live by the five P's. And so, if you prepare yourself the night before, and you're more excited to get up in the morning and conquer whatever goals that you have. For me, it's just about I journal at night, I set my intentions for the day, I set my clothes out, and I always make sure that I get my workout in before I help others. It works for me. But I know that everything I do works for me may not work for the next person. So it's trial and error. I had to try a couple things before I found what worked for me, but that's what works for me right now.
That's so powerful, Monisha, because that just really, you know, struck me right in the core, because that's something that, you know, my wife and I, we, you know, our clients, we have a private practice, and we are life purpose coaches and soul work practitioners. So in that energy, we encourage people, and this is a Jim Rohn philosophy. He says, don't start the day until it's finished. Don't start the week until it's finished. Don't start the month until it's finished. Don't start the year until it's finished. So essentially, you would be writing down your day before it starts, writing down your week before it starts. And what's beautiful mm-hmm. about that is you can make these solid projections, and you can really predict the future. It's so beautiful. People don't know they got that power, but I love how you said that, because when you write it down, make it plain, and then it just becomes this thing that unfolds exactly like that. Lastly, we have an exercise that we do with our clients. We call it Create Your Best Day Ever. So essentially, we want you to write from when you wake up in the a.m. all the way until you retire in the evening, what your best day ever looked like. If you're an author, you done mm-hmm. sold all these books. They done flew you mm-hmm. first class somewhere. You know, you whatever you want it to look like, write it down. About 5 times out of 10, the 10 people who we have do this exercise, 5 of mm-hmm. them end up living their best day ever. And they're blown away, but we know it works, because it's, it's science and it's spirit.
Right. And it's manifesting, right? Manifesting. Yes. And everything in life is energy. You know, everything, even your connection with people, your connection to things you do, it's all energy, right? And so when, you mm-hmm. when you're training your mind to think positive, or even when it comes to seeing yourself as a positive image, you have to train your mind, and then subconsciously you'll start to really believe what you're putting out there, and you'll start doing things. Mm-hmm. You'll start doing things that move you into that goal or that purpose. And, you know, before you even know it, you're just doing things. So, like, you know, and I look at my own life, and it's like I talked about personal training people. I talked about doing this. And so I started like, okay, well, let me go to the gym and start doing this and start getting my body right and start getting my mind right. And, you know, and the more I talked about personal training, the more I started getting clients. And it's like, okay, now this is really happening, and, you know, and right before my eyes. And it's crazy how far I've come in so little time, but manifesting is, I really believe in that.
Yes.
You got to manifest it.
No, and you know what? And we do this for other people. You spoke about working a 40-hour. They have that 40 hours planned out. You know what you're going to do in those 40 hours because they have it planned out. It's not a mystery what's going to happen. Now, the dynamics of the day may differ. You may get a client that does something different, but you pretty much know in that 40 hours working wherever you're working, they have planned out your day, your week, your year. It doesn't fluctuate. You wake up in the morning, you know, when I go to the office, I can pretty much expect this. So you've already trained your mind to be in a sort of a rhythm of planning for someone else.
Yeah.
It's just about, when you talk about energy, Marnisha, it's talking about taking that energy that you give and then turning it back towards yourself, because 40 hours does not make a week, right? There's so many more hours within that week. So you work 8 hours a day. You come home and you invest 2 to 3 hours in yourself, an hour in yourself.
Yes.
You said start off 10 minutes for yourself. If you can't find 10 minutes for yourself, then what are you doing? What are you doing with your life?
Right. And you know, and that's why I tell people, you make time for the things you want to make time for. That 10 minutes, especially if you spend 10 minutes, rather it's in meditation, rather it's in prayer, in the morning, that could dictate the rest of your day. You know, a lot of people, the first thing they wake up on social is to go on social media. But we know there's information on social media that is very triggering. You know, so the first thing you open your phone and the first thing you see is another black kid, like you guys were talking about earlier, has gone missing or things like that. Like, that's triggering. And now you're automatically, your day is starting off on the wrong foot. And that's why I always say, like, because a lot of my clients, you know, they use physical fitness as their therapy, which is totally okay with me. They vent through the session, but that's why I also make it a point that I focus on me first, because I don't want to start my day off with hearing about their problems when I've having, you know, did what I have to do for my self-care. And that's it, you know, and so that you have to know, you have to have boundaries. You got to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. You got to have a balance.
Oh, Marnisha, I would say get your, but you probably already are working on it, but get your book ready, because you are, you know, the information is wise. You can tell that everything that you're speaking on, you are experiencing. And one of the best way to learn something is to teach it, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people don't know that. So, but just as you are training and going through all these things and reflecting, you know, your own life, like, it's so powerful. So as you're journaling, I would encourage you, and I'm sure as Mark will as well, with us being authors, to get that book ready.
Thank you so much.
I will be the first at the bookstore to buy it, Marnisha. That's for sure.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question, Marnisha. You said that most of your clientele are black women. And then you talk about, like, doing for yourself. Black women have been doing for others for years. They've been giving, protecting, they've been nurturing. How hard is it to really get them to sort of turn inward with not feeling guilty about that, with not feeling like they are neglect family, neglecting the community? Do you find that there's a difficulty versus your male clients, or you don't really see that experience?
I have seen it before, but I don't see it a lot. But I do agree that as black women, it is hard for them to put themselves first. Rather, they have to take care of home. They have to take whatever it is. It definitely is difficult. And I feel that one thing I have realized about us as black women is we want to take on the world, right? We want to take on so much that we forget sometimes to just stop and be present. Stop and just, you know, focus and be within yourself. So I do think that it helps that I'm a black woman as well, because they're able to connect with me, and I'm able to, like, you know, understand where they're coming from. But I love to see that there's so many more black women right now that are into fitness. And, like, you look on social media and there's so many, like, Black women empowerment platforms that are encouraging Black women to go out there and move their bodies and having group workouts for Black women. It's amazing because Black women, we don't know how to say no to others, but we're saying no to ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing that I encourage too. Is like that's why I say choose yourself and choose your health, because at the end of the day, if everybody was to leave, all you have is you. And do you want that person to be somebody you look up to, or is that somebody you're not proud of? And so that's what we have to get to. And I have clients now who have kids, and so it's like, you know, be a walking example for your kids.
Yeah.
You know, you can give, but you're not giving to yourself. So at some point, you can only give so much to a point, and so you break down. And so it's sad to see sometimes. I'm like, wow, this is reality of the Black woman. But it also is like, use that same energy that you use for everybody else and pour it into yourself and see what happens, you know, and let's see what can come out of it. What's the worst that can happen,
That's a beautiful message. That's a beautiful message. I look at the dynamic of my home, Manish, and I look at how much, you know, I'm a very present, I try to be as present as I can. But even in that, I noticed that the kids come to my wife first.
Mm-hmm.
And she carries so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one day she was so tired, I was like, well, I'm on the phone a lot. I do this. And then she said, how often do the kids come to you? I do this, this, and this. And she started breaking it down. And I felt so bad that she was saying, like, I tried to compare.
Right.
Forgive me. You know, but I never hear her complaining. And now when I see her doing her spiritual practices, doing things to help fuel her, it's more ingrained in my mind that she gives so much.
Right.
That, as you said, she's depleted. And if she doesn't pour into herself, and I'm glad she's moved to a space where she doesn't feel bad or guilty about that.
Right.
She feels
empowered
taking care of herself. And I'm glad that here you say that there's a lot of Black women who are starting to feel, move into that mental space where they don't feel guilty about taking care of themselves.
Yes.
But
I believe
it
was Audre Lorde. Oh, no, I was just going to say, I believe it was Audre Lorde that said self-care is an act of spiritual warfare, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I will get the correct quote in a minute, but yes, absolutely. Go ahead, Marnisha.
Oh, no, I was going to say, but, yeah, I just think it comes to, like, you know, just when Black women learning to love themselves. You know, when you start to love yourself, you start to do things out of love for yourself. But I also have to give courage. I have to, you know, acknowledge the Black man as well. I think Black men are starting to finally realize how much a Black woman is caring. And so they're encouraging, you know, whether it's their partner, their friends, or their siblings, they're encouraging the Black woman to go out and be independent and do her and do, you know, for herself.
Mm.
So I do want to acknowledge that too, because I've noticed, especially like with my generation, a lot of Black men are allowing Black women to be, you know, to live their life and just live in their truth. And that's I've noticed that as well too.
Oh, that's powerful. So I found the quote. It says, and this is Audre Lorde. It says, caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
This is a beautiful conversation. It's so funny when you talk about a subject, like health or fitness and training. And when you speak to someone like yourself, Manisha, there's so many more layers to it. And as you start peeling those layers out and apart, it's really a beautiful thing. And so I just want to know, if you had to just choose one word, Manisha, that really sums up your philosophy of health and training, what would that word be?
Oh, that's a hard question. So many. The one word I would say
that's
is,
what you get when you come on the other side.
I know. On the other side, got me thinking hard. I would say the one word that I would really put out there is patience.
Mm.
you know, patience.
Speak on that.
And
amplify that
do.
A little bit. Amplify
so, yeah,
that
patience.
I love that.
A lot of people, you know, a lot of within the fitness, especially, even in mental health, you know, when you don't reach or when you aren't seeing fast results and you aren't hitting things when you want to see them, we start to lose our patience. We start to lose our patience and we start to give up on the goal. But we have to be able to trust the process and understand that whatever, for me as a fitness coach, whatever plan that I have written for you is going to work, but you have to have patience in the process. Consistency and patience, they go hand in hand. But I think patience is probably the hardest thing when it comes to fitness because everybody wants fast results. You know, everybody wants to fix it right now, and that's not – and if we're thinking longevity, that's not how it works. You know, I could – yeah, I can, if you want to lose 10 pounds in 5 days, I can help you do that, but it's not sustainable. So you have to have patience in the process and it's for longevity. And with longevity, you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs, but be patient with yourself. And every day is not going to be perfect. You're going to have days where you don't feel like working out, and that's okay. You know, you have to listen to your body, have patience with your body, have patience with your mind, have patience with your soul, and, you know, everything will work out.
That's so wonderful, Marnisha, because it really goes back to intention, right? If your intention is to do this for someone other than yourself, you won't have patience because you may think, I only have 2 months to get this together or he's going to, or she's going to leave me.
Right.
I better get this
together
because if I'm not fit, they're going to start looking at me as unattractive at my job. But if your intention is to do it for yourself, you have more patience. So I really love the fact that you get people to focus on self. And that's not being selfish. That's a wise
Absolutely
love.
Not.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So beautiful. Yeah, that's selfless. You know, focusing on self. You know, this has been such a strong, wonderful conversation. You know, I know many people that's listening are thinking about, you know, doing those 20 sit-ups and sit-down on the couch, you know, while they're drinking some, you know, something, a beverage of choice. So, you know, I just really want to thank you, Marnisha, for just coming and sharing all this wonderful, you know, wise energy on the other side. This is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
We got about 2 minutes left. Absolutely, Marnie. We want to have you back again as well. We got about 2 minutes left. Tell people where they can connect to you. Your information is on the site. We're gonna promote that. But tell people where they can connect with you, Marnisha.
Yeah, you guys can connect with me on my website, which is on the link on this video on mhallathletics.com, and then also on social media platform is m.hallathletics. On Instagram. So I don't have a Facebook, but I do have an Instagram. So if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. If you have any questions about training, you can find all the details on my website.
Nice.
Beautiful. We're going to make sure to send that out. We're going to take this, we're going to put it on our podcast platform. So we're going to continue to promote your website. Marnisha, you were amazing.
Thank you.
You gave a lot of information. I hope people received that information, and I hope they began to take those baby steps, as you said, and take it for themselves.
Right.
Take it for themselves. I think that's the most important thing. So thank you, and we appreciate you. And for those out there in our listening audience, I pray that you heard this information and you get up, as our brother said, start doing those 20 sit up and sit down. I know I'm going to call my mother and I'm going to do it with her tomorrow to make sure she does it.
Gonna start a sit up and sit down workshop, Mark. A virtual workshop. Did you want?
I may have to do that, brother. I may have to do that. All right, everybody. We thank you for being with us again, Marnisha. We thank you for spending this hour with us. I know we always say it goes by quick.
It goes by so
fast. Yeah, it
did. It goes by so fast. So we appreciate you, and as always, we look forward to everyone else joining us again in a couple of weeks as we go back on the other side.
Indeed.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right now.
Likewise. Peace.
Peace.